Now we're going to have our Bible readings, and we'll ask everybody who's taking part in the Bible readings to come up to the front now, and just note that the first reading is the story of Easter Sunday morning according to John's Gospel, and then the second reading is the story of what happened in the evening of Easter Sunday, according to Luke's Gospel. So we've got the day in the right order for you again. And the right people near the microphone at the right time.
Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them.
They have taken the Lord from the tomb and we don't know where they have put him.
Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. They asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him."
Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus.
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?"
She thought it was the gardener.
"If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him."
"Mary?"
"Rabboni, teacher."
"Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God."
So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples what she had seen, that she had seen the Lord, and related to them what Jesus had told her. The Walk to Emmaus from Luke's Gospel. Now that same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Jesus asked them,
"What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?"
They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him,
"Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days?"
"What things?"
"The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth."
"This man was a prophet," and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did.
Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified.
But we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free.
And what is more, this is now the third day since it happened.
Also, some of the women in our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but they could not find his body.
They came back, saying that they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive.
Then some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him.
How foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophets said. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory?
Beginning with Moses and the writings of all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they held him back, saying,
"Stay with us. The day is almost over, and it is getting dark."
So he went in to stay with them. Jesus sat down to eat with them. He took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other,
"Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road
and explained the scriptures to us?"
They got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others and saying,
"It is true, the Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon."
Then the two explained what had happened to them on the road and how they had recognized the Lord when he broke the bread.
Well, we've looked at some of the events leading up to Easter, and we've heard the story of what happened on that first Easter day, in the morning of the day. And then in our second Bible reading, which we're going to think about now for a few minutes, we've heard about Jesus' friends walking to the village of Emmaus on the same Easter Sunday evening. And the story tells us that amazingly, these two friends were suddenly able to experience the presence of the risen Lord with them, even though at first they didn't realize that it was him. And since the resurrection, that's something that right up until today continues to be possible for friends of Jesus. And that includes, I think, even us. And it's something that can make a huge difference to our lives, just as it did for Cleopas and his friends. So let's think about how we can experience the presence and power of the risen Lord Jesus day by day in our own situations here and now. And I want to suggest three ideas that might help us to do this. First of all, we can experience the presence of the risen Lord as we talk about others with him. Now, as these two disciples were walking to Emmaus, that's, of course, what they were doing. They were talking to each other, and they were discussing the things that had happened in Jerusalem, and, of course, there were many, many things for them to discuss. They knew all about the events, and they knew what they believed about Jesus. They believed that he was going to be the one who would set Israel free, the Messiah. So they had lots to share as the stranger coming along suddenly joined them. And while they were sharing and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. So even though they didn't recognize him at the time, that was the point when they began to experience the presence of the risen Lord. And isn't it still true for us today that very often it's when we are sharing and discussing with others that our own faith can grow? Let's just think for a minute about those Christians who've shared their faith with you and with me and encouraged us and helped our faith to grow. We might think of our parents, friends, teachers at school, Sunday school teachers, church leaders, all kinds of people. I think for me it would have been, first of all, my parents who shared their faith in Jesus with me, starting from as far back as I can possibly remember, in fact. And later on, when I was applying for missionary service, and for the years that I was overseas, at the beginning particularly, there was an older lady in the congregation here, Edith Mills, who'd been a missionary in South India for over 20 years. And because she'd been there, done that, she was the ideal person for me to talk to. And she certainly did keep in contact and encourage. One place where we do it today is at Breakfast Club. We actually take time to look at God's Word and to discuss together and talk together about Christianity and Christian things and our faith. And I'm sure that's a place where people find it helps faith to grow. And in fact, as soon as Cleopas and his friend realized who Jesus was, the first thing they did after their encounter with him was to go all the way back to Jerusalem, about 11 kilometers. So that takes a bit of motivation when you're walking, all the way back to Jerusalem and tell the other disciples what had happened and discuss it with them. And then, of course, secondly, we can experience the risen Lord Jesus by talking to Jesus himself and spending time with him. While talking to each other, Jesus appeared and joined them. That's what they were suddenly doing, talking to Jesus. By talking and listening to Jesus, they started to learn a lot more about what had happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus explained a lot of things that up till then they didn't understand. And what Jesus explained and said made a big difference. Gradually they got more and more excited about what they were hearing, and they described it as like a fire that was burning within us. And today, in the same way again, Jesus can talk to us in many different ways, and we can talk to him and listen to what we believe he's saying to us. How? Well, through reading the Bible, through prayer, through worship, through discussions with others, through our circumstances, and all kinds of other ways too. We need open ears ready to listen and learn, eyes open to see Jesus in different situations, and minds alert to hear and understand what he's got to say to us. One of the most important ways, perhaps, or the most obvious ways, is through reading the scriptures ourselves. Just as Jesus explained the scriptures to those two on the way to Emmaus. So, for example, at one time for work, I was supposed to help with producing some Bible studies on missionary sharing, and as part of that, I had to ask a number of different missionaries and retired missionaries What was it? Was there a particular verse or a particular story from the Bible that made you feel that God was calling you to be a missionary? Now, I don't remember all the answers, but I remember being impressed by the fact that every single person I talked to said something different. You might have thought that if somebody was listening to find out whether or not they were going to be called to be a missionary, they would think of the verses at the end of Matthew's Gospel, the Great Commission, or something like that. But I talked to Isabel Hathaway, and she said, I think it was God's call to the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament that she felt spoke to her. And as I've said a number of times, what I felt spoke to me was a sermon here in Christchurch where the minister was reading the story of Peter stepping out of the boat in faith to walk to Jesus on the water. And the minister said over and over again, God is calling you to step out in faith. Are you going to step out in faith? And he kept using that phrase, and that was what spoke to me and made me think, I've got to step out in faith and offer for missionary service. The other thing, interesting thing about that fact was, I think that it was a service here, an ordinary service, and it was attended by a great many people. And nobody else felt that God was calling them to step out in faith by offering for missionary service. Jesus speaks to each one of us in different ways, at different times, and to individuals differently. We all matter to him. We're all unique and special. And we can all experience communicating with the risen Lord Jesus for ourselves. But God isn't limited to speaking to us through the Bible. The risen Lord is God, and he can speak to us anywhere, anytime, through any situation. Sometimes it may be like the man who felt that God was calling him to be a missionary, but he didn't know where God wanted him to go. And one day, when he opened his lunchbox, there in the lunchbox was a packet of fruit and nuts. And he reached in and he took out from the packet a Brazil nut. And he thought, God's answered my prayers, and he went to serve as a missionary in Brazil. Well, of course, you have to be a bit careful about that kind of thing. And I don't know what had happened, what would have happened if the man happened to have taken a Mars bar out of his lunchbox. But as a result of talking to Jesus, the disciples' sadness and confusion went, and they turned to joy and excitement, and they rushed all the way back to Jerusalem to witness to others there. And then thirdly and finally, the thing is that we can only experience the presence of the risen Lord Jesus when we invite him into our own lives. It was when the travelers on the road to Emmaus invited the stranger to come in and eat that they realized who he really was. They invited Jesus into their homes and into their lives. Jesus didn't push his way in. And in fact, they had to be quite strong in their invitation because he walked ahead as if he was going on further. And the travelers really had to urge him to stay with them. There was nothing half-hearted about the invitation. And Jesus accepted the invitation right there and right then. And it was only after they'd invited Jesus in and in the everyday things of sharing a meal together as we've shared at communion today, that they realized who Jesus was. As they sat down at the table, Jesus took the bread, broke it, blessed it, gave it out to them, just as we've done this morning. And that was when they recognized him. If we want to experience the presence of the risen Lord in our lives this Easter, then the first step, of course, has to be that we invite him in. Jesus still says to us through the Bible, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to you and eat with you and you with me." If you've not invited Jesus into your life, then this Easter could really be an opportunity to do just that. If we've already invited Jesus into our lives, to be Lord of our lives, then Easter would be a good time to think again about staying as close to him day by day as we possibly could. John uses the picture in his gospel of branches on the vine, and Jesus reminds us, "Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So today, let the Easter story remind us all that we're called, strengthened, and upheld by the risen Lord Jesus, who's promised that we can experience his presence with us now and always on into eternal life. Amen.